Word and turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to share God's Word with you tonight. And so good to see all of you. How many of you came in and the roads were just terrible when you came in? Am I the only weak one here? Okay, good. I was hoping, because I came in and I was thinking about how bad the roads were and no one else was saying anything. I was like, man, I guess I was down south too long, so. But it is good. It's good to be here tonight, and glad that you all made it here safely. James chapter number 1, when you study the book of James, small book, only 5 chapters, but it is a book of great wisdom. And it's a book that you can read and you can easily apply the truths that are in there to the Christian life. I'm talking about on a daily routine type of way in the Christian life. I hope that you studied the book of James. So many good things out of it. We think about one of the central themes in the book of James is, I believe, found in James chapter number 2, verse number 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And the truth is, we can talk about faith all day long. And I can have you come up here and I would say, I want you to show everyone your faith. There's no tangible way that you can pull your faith out of your pocket and show it to everyone. But the way that your faith is shown to a lost world and to other Christians is by your works. And it's been said that our faith inwardly justifies us before God. Praise God for that. But our works kind of justify us before men, right? Because words are cheap. We can talk all that we want, but our works will prove our faith before each other. So we need to make sure that our works are consistent with our faith. Amen? So we think about that. So many things we could talk about in the book of James. I want you to look with me in James chapter number 1 and verse number 22. The Word of God says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And I want you to think about this passage of Scripture. Verse number 22 says, and it kind of sums it up here, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. My question for you tonight, quickly, is what is the Word of God to you? And we're going to talk about how we need to incorporate the Word of God into our daily lives. The Word of God is not just some kind of old book that really has no relevance to today's culture, to our lives today. The Word of God is a living Word. The Word of God is what it says. It is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. The Bible says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is a book that was written so that we can know God. And if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater way, you know Christ through His Word. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to know Christ, you know God's Word. And if you know God's Word, you will know Christ. I think about God's Word. The Word of God brings clarity, doesn't it? We think about how Joseph, he was struggling with the fact if he was going to have Mary prosecuted for the fact that she was with child outside of marriage. He was really struggling with that. He put her away privily. As he was struggling with that, the angel came and brought Joseph the Word of God. Things and clarity came to his mind about what he was to do. Have you ever been in a point in life where you're just so confused, you're just such in a dark place? You read the Bible and the Word of God brings clarity. Isn't that a sweet time? When God uses His Word to bring clarity. The Word of God convicts. The Word of God shows us things in our life that's not right. The Word of God is not just a textbook, even though we can use it to study theology and different things. The Word of God is living. If you put it into your life, it will produce something. You know, I have at my house, I got a membership at Costco, and I started doing some juicing, and I have these carrots, a 10-pound bag of carrots. Organic carrots, they're only like $7, and I try to juice those carrots. Listen, those carrots, if I leave them in the refrigerator, they're not going to have any benefit in my life. But once I juice those things, or if I eat those things, put them in a salad, they're going to come into my physical body, and they're going to produce some benefits. Because it is a living thing that I am putting into my body that has nutrients that's going to give me some benefits. The Word of God is living. If you allow it to penetrate your heart, if you allow it to get into your life, it will produce some good things. So many times as Christians, when I've read this passage so many times, but when I think about the Christian life, sometimes we get in a spiritual rut. And we carry around the Word of God. We have it in our hands. We bring it in. We sit down in church. We open it. You know, we go through our daily Bible reading and we read the Bible. And we have this time that is separate from our daily routine. And we fail so many times in incorporating the Word of God into our lives once we have put it down. Once we have laid it aside for the day. Once we have closed it on Sunday morning, we fail to take it with us. Now, it's a good thing to be a hearer of the Word, isn't it? We live in a country where we have the opportunity, we have the blessing of being able to hear the Word of God every week. You can open your Bible in your home in the morning and you can read it. As a matter of fact, you can go down to the coffee shop and open your Bible and read it. And no one can tell you to close it because we have that freedom here in America. We are blessed to be able to hear the Word of God. But the Word of God here goes even further. It says, but be ye doers of the Word. What does it mean to be a doer of the Word? I believe it means that we are to obey the commands that God has given us. And not only that, do the things that Christ has given us to do as Christians. We are not only to read it, we are not only to put it into our hearts, but we are to do it or to obey it. I think about Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 7. Hold your place here and go with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus Christ preached his Sermon on the Mount, and so many great things we could pull out of that. But we know at the very end of his message, in Matthew chapter number 7, notice it really starts with salvation, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Knoweth that word doeth. That word doeth means that you are to obey the command. For lost people, it's not just listening to the Word of God. It's not just hearing the message and saying, okay, I'm good to go because I sat in church. But it is doing. It is obeying the command. Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven one day, it goes much further than just hearing it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. What is the will of my Father? You can read about that in John chapter 6. And of course, Jesus Christ came into this world, and it is God's will that everyone would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And listen, when I stand before God, I'm not just going to be saying, Lord, Lord, but I'm going to be saying, Lord, the only hope that I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one that's allowing me to stand here before the holy, righteous God without me just turning to dust. And it goes further than just my talk. But Jesus, when He finishes talking to this crowd, in verse number 24, He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. I have circled in my Bible, heareth and doeth. And then if we go further down, verse number 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Listen, there are two groups of people here tonight. There are people that strive to obey the Word of God, and then there are people that do not obey God's Word, and they disobey God's Word. There are two groups of people. We are all under the sound of the Word of God. But personally, what are you doing with it? Are we being obedient? Listen, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to fall short. But are we striving? Do we have a desire to be obedient to God's Word? By the way, that is a proof of true Christianity, that we have a desire to obey God's word. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have a desire to obey God's word, I encourage you to ask God to give you that desire. So we see here in this passage several things. We're going to look at the verses here in James chapter number 1, and we're going to look at a few other places. But we notice as we read through this, talking about obeying the word of God, disobedience in the Christian's life causes self-deception. Look at this in verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what it says, but be ye doers, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we get, like I said earlier, we get into this spiritual rut sometimes where we read God's word, we sit under the preaching of God's word, but we fail to incorporate that into our daily lives. We fail to obey the word of God. We fail to live the word of God. And we think all is well because we heard it. Listen, it's good to hear, but it's the best thing to do is obey. And that's what we're commanded to do. I give this illustration to the young people sometimes. You know, when my mom would tell me to take the trash out or clean my room, I wouldn't just sit back and say, wow, that was a great message, Mom. I really appreciate that. And then just continue doing what I was doing. No, I would be in trouble. I had to obey and do what my mom told me to do. But notice what it says, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. I want you to hold your place here and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're gonna be here just for a few moments. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I think Saul is one of the greatest examples of this. Saul was a man, he was the first king of Israel. And I believe when he started, he was strong spiritually. I believe he had a true desire to please God with his life. But somewhere along the line, he stopped obeying the way that God wanted him to obey. If we look at this, we see what happens here in just kind of context. God wanted Saul to destroy the Amalekites, completely destroy the Amalekites. Well, Saul did that to a point, but he kind of put his own twist on things. He looked at God's command and he said, basically, well, I understand this, but I believe it will be better if I do it this way. I believe it will be better if I just kind of leave a little bit of that out. And we know that God came to Samuel. Samuel is upset about this. God said, look, we're going to have to find another king. Saul can no longer be king of Israel because he has disobeyed me. By the way, this is the line of Christ. And God was very particular about choosing David to be the king of Israel. But we find out here in verse number 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? Then Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Hold on a second. God said nothing about keeping some of the sheep, keep some of the oxen to sacrifice. I want you to notice what happens here in Saul's life. Saul went to Samuel and he said, I have obeyed the Lord. I did exactly what God wanted me to do. Hold on a second. God didn't tell him to do that. God didn't tell him to keep certain amount to sacrifice. You know, it's interesting that Saul was deceived. Just like it says in James chapter number 1, deceiving your own selves. Saul was a hearer of the word. Saul was a hearer of the word of God, but not a doer. And then, when he did not obey God's word, he was deceived in thinking that he did. You know, we need to make sure that we keep our ideas and our opinions out of what God has commanded us to do. You know, there are so many churches today, and our culture, we see it everywhere. We see people, people that claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have modified the church service. They have modified the way that they do things. They have modified their lifestyle in a way where they still say, "Lo, I have obeyed the Lord." But they really haven't. Instead, they have taken the commandments of God and they put their own twist on things. They've taken the commandments of God and they've tried to make them more comfortable. And they try to bring them down to the level of men so that they can do the things that they think are convenient. We have to be very careful about that. We have to make sure that we move all emotions aside when it comes to obeying God's word. Because let me tell you, when God gives a commandment and that commandment cuts you to the heart, it's not going to feel good. It's not going to be nice and warm and fuzzy. We might as well just say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to obey with your help," instead of trying to justify a new way of doing it. And that's exactly what Saul did. Saul said, for whatever reason, Saul said, "Well, I'm just going to keep the king alive. I'm going to keep some oxen and some sheep alive, and I'm going to do things my way." How did he justify it? "Well, you know, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord." Well, that's good, right? That's a good thing. That's a noble reason. Doesn't matter. God did not command it that way. And listen, let's do things to try to build a crowd, to get more people interested. Let's try new methods and new means so that, you know, people can come hear the gospel, right? That's not the way God has commanded it. As a matter of fact, that's called pragmatism. And Saul was guilty of this. Saul had this idea that the end justifies the means. Saul said, "I'm going to glorify God, but I'm going to do it however I feel like I'm going to do it." We think about Cain and Abel. Cain said, "You know what? I know what mom and dad taught me. I know what they said needs to be done to worship God. I understand all this, but I'm going to take the very best of my field. I'm not going to get the stuff on the outside that maybe the rabbits and the other animals are eating of. I'm going to give the very best, and I'm going to offer my very best fruits and vegetables to God." God rejected the sacrifice. Hey, it sounded good. I remember the first time, I don't know, I must have been a child when I heard read the passage about Cain and Abel, and I thought, what's the big deal? I mean, the man gave everything that he was working on. I mean, he gave a great offering to the Lord. You know, Cain knew exactly what he needed to do. He deceived his own self, didn't he? He said, "I've heard the word of God," but he wasn't a doer. And he deceived his own self. You know, we need to make sure as Christians that we don't try to twist the word of God to make it convenient for us. Don't let yourself be deceived. Don't let your emotions cry out to you and say, "Let's just do it a little bit different, just so it feels a little bit better." You know, sometimes it's going to be hard to obey the Lord, but we just need to do it. So we see that if we disobey the Lord, it will cause self-deception. We will come back to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I want you to notice, if you go back to James chapter number 1, we see number 1, disobedience causes self-deception. Number 2, disobedience causes spiritual neglect. I want you to notice, if we keep reading, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." I want you to notice this spiritual neglect. The Bible here compares itself to a mirror. How many of you took a nap this afternoon? Raise your hand, be honest. Okay. How many of you, when you got up from your nap, before you left to go to church, you looked in the mirror? Good. Why? Because if you were like me, this side of my head was all poofed up, right? Because of the way I slept on it. Now, it would have been pretty funny, and I'm sure I hope that you would point it out, if I did not look in the mirror and I just came to church and my hair was all sticking up on one side, right? I hope you would. How many of you, your hair was sticking up on one side when you woke up? The only one that has no hair, raise his hand. I don't know, I'm going to have to get some of your, for those of you who have hair, I'm going to have to get some of your hair product so that I won't have bedhead when I wake up. But anyway, so you wake up in the morning, and hopefully, at some point in the morning, you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror. Okay, because there could be some issues when you look in the mirror. And before you walk out the door, hopefully you have corrected those issues in the mirror. All right, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we all just didn't own mirrors and we just went out and actually, you know, if you go to Walmart, you walk around, I don't think a lot of those people own mirrors. But if you have a mirror, you should look in it and correct it before you leave the house. Now, that's physically speaking, right? Talk about that physically. We have no issue with that. We look in the mirror and we fix whatever's wrong with us and we go on our way. It would be very silly to look in the mirror, see something wrong, maybe you know, you brush your teeth and you got some toothpaste on your face. If you just said, you know what, big deal, forget about it, and you just went your way, that would be crazy. Of course, you're going to wipe it off. But you know, so many times, we go to the mirror that peers into our soul and shows us things in our life that needs to be fixed, and we just go our way. We sit under the preaching of God's Word, and we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And instead of getting things right, we just kind of cast it off a little bit. And then by the time church is ended, you know, the conviction is gone, and we say, man, what a great message today. That really blessed my heart. Well, you were disobedient. And I was disobedient when the Lord was dealing with me. We need to make sure that we fix the things that the Word of God shows us in our lives. Listen, disobedience causes spiritual neglect. You know, as far as I can see, everyone here tonight, you look nice. There is no physical neglect. But is there spiritual neglect tonight? That's something I can't see. But you know what can see? The mirror of the Word of God can see it. And God can see it. What about the spiritual neglect? The neglect of your soul? You know, we do a very good job about dressing up nice and looking good. But we need to make sure that the inward man looks as good as the outside. Amen? I want you to hold your place here and go with me to Exodus, chapter number 30. Exodus chapter number 30. Exodus is a great book. You know, if someone says that the Word of God is boring, Exodus is a tremendous book to read. Joshua is a great book to read. Acts chapter 27, it's a good chapter to read. We were talking about that this morning. But I want you to look with me in Exodus chapter 30, verse number 18. Notice, well, let's look at verse number 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Later on, we see the material that this was made out of, this laver. It was actually made out of brass that a lot of ladies would use as looking glasses they took from Egypt. Now, we're not going to get too deep into the tabernacle, but we know the sacrifice taken care of in the courtyard. Before the priest would go into the holy place, they had to make sure that they had no spots on them. And separating the sacrifice from the place of worship, the place of fellowship, was this laver. There was water in it. And I of course, we understand as the priest would look down, there was a reflection, no doubt. And they could clean their hands, they could clean their feet, and they went into the holy place, they were able to worship. You know, that is a great example of the Word of God in our lives. You know, the truth is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins have been forgiven. The sacrifice has been done. But before you go into true fellowship and worship with God, you need to examine your own life. And that's what the Word of God does. It's a mirror. And those priests would have been in trouble if they didn't take that step before they went into the holy place. And listen, we can have no fellowship with God as long as our lives are spotted by the world and by our everyday lives with sin. Listen, our sins have been paid for. No one can take that relationship with God away from you. Praise God, you can't even walk away from it. But you know what? Your fellowship with God can be hindered because of spots of this world on your life. You know, before you can go into true fellowship with God, you need to make sure that you allow the mirror of the Word of God to peer into your soul so that you can wash yourself. You know, the truth is, why do we ask the Lord to cleanse us? I mean, wasn't all of our sins cleansed at Calvary? Well, yes, but we need to understand that fellowship is renewed every day. And if we ask Jesus to forgive us, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all of our sins. So disobedience causes spiritual neglect. You know, maybe there are some of you here tonight. You are spiritually neglected. And it's not God's fault. It's your fault. You have been before the mirror so many times, but you have failed to change something. I don't know what it is, but maybe the Lord has shown you something in His Word. He has showed you something specifically. This is what you need to change. Before you can have a meaningful fellowship with me, you need to get this thing taken care of. You need to lay aside this sin. You need to lay aside this weight. But instead of changing it, you just continue on with your life, spiritually neglected. May God help us with this. I want you to notice, number three, disobedience causes us to miss the blessings of God. Disobedience causes us to miss the blessings of God. I want you to continue looking with me here. In verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, the blessing of God is simple. You just read what God wants us to do and you do it. That's the blessing of God. If you want the blessings of God, you read His Word and you obey it. I want you to notice what it says. But whoso looketh into this idea of this labor, we look into it, the reflection. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I want you to notice this phrase, law of liberty. If we look at it first glance, it's almost like an oxymoron, right? Law is a restrainer. Liberty is a releaser. How can you have a law of liberty? When we look at the Word of God, the law shows us things in our life that we need to get taken care of. The law really shows us who we are. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans. When we look at the Word of God, it shows us who we really are before God. But when Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross for our sins, He was buried and rose again the third day, He offers liberty and freedom. We now have this law of liberty. We are free to do exactly what God wants us to do. You know, the truth is, when you were lost, you could try all you want and you cannot do what God wanted you to do. You know, I see people at the Ottawa County Jail. I know Brother Mark sees them. And they're in there, it seems like, several times. They leave the jail and they come back. They leave the jail, they come back. And I think about the fact that these men probably do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of these men, some of them know the Lord as their Savior, no doubt. But we think about they cannot be free from their sin. They try to go through the programs. They try to make the right decisions. They try to turn over a new leaf. They try to do all these things, but they cannot have the victory. There is no victory outside of the Word of God. We have this law of liberty. We are free to do what God wants me to do. You know, I think about people that really want freedom. They want to be free. They want to do exactly what they want to do. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. But you go up to some major city and you see a drug addict living under a bridge. Are they free? You see a drunk passed out in the gutter. He's lost his family. He's lost his job. He once had a lot of money in the bank. He had a nice house, but now he has lost it all. You go down to the casino and you see somebody that is addicted to gambling and they spend all of their income. They spend their grocery money. They spend anything they could get for their kids. They spend that on gambling, trying to get more money. Are these people really free? They're not. They're in bondage. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are released from this bondage. And you now are free to do exactly what God wants you to do. You have freedom in Christ to do what God wants you to do. How do we know what God wants us to do? Do we go by our feelings? Do we just say, I feel like God wants me to do this. I feel like God doesn't want me to do that. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with truth. And listen, all of the Word of God is for our benefit. And you may say, well, you know, there's a lot of commands in the Old Testament that I'm not going to obey. Well, you know, there are some commands in the Old Testament that were given directly to the Jewish people. But listen, when we talk about certain things from the Word of God, when we talk about sins in the Old Testament that God points out, does His attitude toward that sin change just because we live under the New Testament? We live under the time of grace. Does His attitude change towards those things? Absolutely not. God's attitude does not change towards sin. Disobedience causes us to miss the blessings of God. Notice, it says, again, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice what it says, not a forgetful hearer. How many times have we sat under the preaching of God's Word, and we hear the message, and then just a few hours later, we think about what was preached, and we can't remember anything? Forgetful hearer. You know, we read the Bible in the morning. We just go through the motions, you know. I don't know what I read. You may say, I have no idea what I read this morning. A forgetful hearer. You know, someone that remembers what God has spoken to them about, they are going to be the ones that will obey. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Hold your place here and go with me to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. You read the book of Leviticus, you find over and over again God's admonition for the children of Israel to simply obey the commandments. But notice verse number 3, Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 3. If ye walk in my statutes, by the way, whenever the Word of God talks about statutes, it's talking about the Word of God, and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And let's stop right there just for a second. Notice the word if in verse number 3, verse number 4, then. This is one of those, if you study theology, one of those if-then covenants. And God says, if you do this, then I will do this. And God says, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. And I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Doesn't that sound good? It goes all the way back to if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Is it possible as a Christian saved on your way to heaven to not have the blessings of God on your life? Is that possible? Yeah. And you know what it goes back to? If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Listen, there are people in this world that are struggling. There are people in this world, it seems like every time they turn around, and I have family members like this, it seems like they can't even get out of bed without something going wrong in their life. And listen, as Christians, I'm talking about if you obey God every day, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have difficulties, but you know the people I'm talking about. It seems like everywhere they go, every time they turn around, when they get up out of bed, when they go to sleep, there's always something going wrong in their life. The question I have for them, are you being obedient to the Lord? Maybe you look at your life and it's just in a tailspin. Your life just seems like it's out of control. Everywhere you turn, something's going wrong. Ask yourself the question, am I being obedient to the Lord? If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then all of these benefits that God just mentioned here. Think about your life tonight. I want you to think about your life. We all hear the Bible. We listen to it. We hold it in our hands. We go through life with the Word of God. You know, we memorize Scripture, and those are all good things. We hear it. But are you obeying the Lord? Are you obeying the Lord? Go back one more time with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to share with you just another verse here. And we're almost done. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look at verse number 22. Talking to Saul again, same story that we mentioned a few minutes ago. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Listen, we're filled with so much activity, and we do all these things. But the heart of the matter is, are you being obedient to the Lord? You know, that's great if you tithe, and we are being obedient in those areas. But, you know, we're being obedient by going to church and all of those things. But are you kind of justifying disobeying God in other areas because you're obeying Him in these areas? Are you kind of neglecting the other areas? Well, you know, I'm tithing. I even give above the tithe. You know, I give to missions. I give to the building fund. I go to church. I do this. I do that. I do this. I do that. So it's really not that big of a deal if I don't obey right here. That's good. But the Bible says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Listen, God wants all of your heart. He wants your obedience. He wants it all. And if you go back, and you don't have to turn there, because I said this was the last passage, but I'm going to turn there. Verse number 22, again, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Listen, we need to make sure that we are hearing and obeying God's word. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You've done for us. And Lord, we're such a people that has benefited, Lord, from the hearing of God's Word. We're so blessed, Lord, to be able to listen to it. But Lord, help us to go even further. Help us, Lord, to obey God's Word. Help us, Lord, to do exactly what we're supposed to do as Christians. Lord, we sure do love You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.